Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. We declare it tonight. We stand in this place. Lord, we thank you for the divine appointment. We thank you for what's represented here in the room tonight. Father, we thank you that you are doing a new thing. Father, that you have looked on this land and you see the ancient history that we have. God, you see the heritage, Lord. You see the root system. You see the life that's there. Lord God, you see the deposit. You see the inheritance, Lord. You see the legacy that's there, Lord God. And we position ourselves before you tonight, Jesus. We stand before you, Jesus, tonight, and we say, Lord, release the anointing. Release our inheritance to us in this nation, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And I declare it, I decree it in the name of Jesus, that the heavy weight of the stones that have been laid over the wells, we come against them tonight in the name of Jesus. We come against the weight. We take the sword of the Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we begin to smash up the weight of the oppression and the quenching of the flow of the life of God and of the living water that's there in those wells, that's there as part of our heritage. We come against it tonight in the name of Jesus, and we declare that we are coming forth, that we will be ones that know where we have come from, that we will be ones that are linked back and back and back and back to the very beginning of where the move of God began, not just in this nation, but Jesus, when you went to the cross, when you broke through, Lord, when you made the way, where you made the way where there is no way, when your blood was shed, Lord, when you made the way through and you brought us into the presence of the Father, and that way can never be blocked ever, ever again. But Lord, as British people, and those of you that are here from other lands as well, lay hold of this for where you come from. We declare it. I believe we have been sent here tonight, that this is a set time. This is a set moment. We are going in the gap now on behalf of our nation. Just even at this crucial time of decision, no matter where we stand in the end, be with Europe, we want to make sure that we stand before God with our flag held high, saying, Lord, we will serve you and we will not compromise. We will not. And Father, where the flames have been diminished, where the oppression and the weight, even as the stones that try to be laid over these wells, God, have come upon the leaders in this land, the ones that have stewarded past moves, ones that once knew you, and their hearts have been pressed down and they've become cold. They've lost their way. They no longer know the way of the Spirit. They no longer know the fire of the Spirit in their bones. Oh, we intercede for them tonight in the name of Jesus. And we say, as we begin to break through in this place, Father, let the flames begin to burn again. Let the fire begin to burn again, Lord. You know, Lord, you know. Lord, you have your generals. You have the fathers and the mothers in the land that have stood for decades and for even generations who are still alive. And we intercede for them tonight in the name of Jesus. For Father, we want a completed work. We want a generational work in this nation. We want the restoration of family in this nation, God. The natural family and the spiritual family. And we say, Lord, shift us tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the sound come forth from this land, Lord, that has been locked down. And we say, we stand against it and we break it in Jesus' name. We break it in Jesus' name. That the sound of worship will be released, that the voices will be released, not just here, Lord God, but across the land. Lord, where there's been a dearth and where there's been a deafening, Lord, even upon your people's ears so they could no longer hear. Lord, where the weight has come and the song has been silenced, we say in Jesus' name, that the song will come forth once again, and this time it will not be stopped, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got a total surprise when Mum, this is my mum. She's in the spirit. But I wanted to ask my mum to just come at this point, and we're not going to stay in this place for long. We're going to go straight back into the worship. But the song that Mark is playing, I asked Mark to, if he could, to prepare it, because it's a song that we used to sing a really long time ago in a wonderful move of God in the late 60s. And that's where my parents were born. My mum was born again, already, but my dad was born again, and they were both filled with the Spirit, and it was a powerful, powerful move. And we were there as children. And I believe my spirit got trained very much in recognizing when the presence of God is there. What an awesome, awesome gift to be given by the Lord. And I know in my heart, I know I've interceded already and gone in the gap, but I know that I know that I know that the glory that we've seen in the past, that God is doing a new thing. But he's not going to have it that we will not be connected to where we came from. There's going to be such a unity of spirit and such a flow, so that the things that were learned in even those days and carried so faithfully, and my mum was one of those people, she's still here, that we will learn and we will also teach each other. But I wanted, I just wanted in a short way, Mum, if you can be short. Hang on a minute, because there's one more voice, there's one more verse to that song, and I think we need to sing it, and then in a minute, and then Mark can just carry on with the worship. Yeah. But what I wanted to ask my mum to just share with you was, and if the guys keep playing, what it was like, because I know what it was like in those times, Mum. Meetings on a farm in Yorkshire, but the glory of God fell. Mighty move, God. And it's not the only place. And I just know that there's something prophetic about what we're going through at the moment, that one generation is hanging on to the other. But I wondered, Mum, if you could, it's not a preach or a sermon, but what was it like being in the presence of God in those days?
Just like it is today for me. For me, this was 40 years ago. I was 10. And in those days, I had come from a Baptist-type church. I knew the scriptures, taught the scriptures. When we came to the part about the Holy Spirit, doesn't work today. It is not for today. And because the teachers and preachers were my elders and betters, I sort of believed that. Struggled with it because of what it said in Acts chapter whatever, and all the things that happened. So we went, I could keep you here all night, but we went to this place for the wrong reasons, yes. My husband at that time was a salesman, and this farmer was a customer, so we had to go. And I hated it with every fibre of my being. The room was full like this. The people were rude because it was time to pray, and they were all doing it at once. And not just that, they were all foreign. So my self-righteousness said, how rude. I was sat there with my big hat, you know, like having my head covered and doing all the right things. But why were they not waiting for one another? And inside, I was in pieces. But I'll tell you this, I knew there was something that they had that I didn't. Not possible, of course. But I knew it. And to cut a long story short, that which didn't happen then, these days, happened to me. The Holy Spirit came. I would never pray out loud. And these people were doing this, and they were shouting hallelujah. You don't need to do that. It's in my heart. Tell you this, God has an amazing sense of humour. I think I shouted louder than anybody else, but that was 40 years ago. you can have this, but there is a warning that goes with it. That experience of how God dealt with us, how we saw demons come out of people. You don't believe it, neither did I, but I saw it. People become Christians, people be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I saw it. It comes with a price. If you move out of that place into mediocrity, you will never, never, never be satisfied in your life again. I have never been able to be satisfied with less than I got 40 years ago. Now, you're not here by accident, any of you. You're here because you are predestined by the Holy Ghost to be here. Oh, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too tired, let the kids do it. Did God say that? I don't think he did. You can say those things on the day that you're translated to glory. God is an amazing God, and he is doing a new thing. And I'm sorry, Julie, but I'm going to have to do this. The Holy Spirit gave me a word to bring to you. Do you understand why the wells are as they are, says the Holy Spirit? I want to help you to understand. Each family, each church, each fellowship, you are a well. Why are the wells blocked up? Who did that to you? Well, you did. The little church, the little fellowship that you're in, how did it get like this? Going through the motions, acting out a part. Okay on the outside, desolate at the heart. We all did. The stones and the rubbish in the well, the Spirit of God says, has polluted the water. And it's easy to talk about, get the stones out and let the living water flow again. Do you know what that means? It almost means a fresh, honest beginning with the Almighty God. Perhaps if you knew me better, you might be more willing to receive what I'm saying. But I trust you will anyhow. We've got to get rid of the rubbish. Yeah, the water's there. You know, it's underneath. But it's tainted. It's not the water of life. It's not clean. But it's not too late. God is calling us to remove the rubbish, the things in your life, in your understanding, in your theology, in every department of your life that is blocking those wells. Because once the wells begin to flow, the living water flows. Life comes with the water. Health, strength, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Because that which refreshes the body will begin to refresh your spirit. You are not here by accident. You are here, and I need you to know that tonight the kingdom of God has come very near to each one of you. The question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it and with it? Are you going to go back to your home, your fellowship, your place of worship, and carry on the way that you have been? I'm not saying that any of these things or any of the people are bad people, just bad habits. This is the house of God. We don't give him a little space in our church services with our three hymns, two worship songs and the notices. I've been there. I've been there and heard it said, well, if the Holy Spirit wants to move, he's going to have to do it in that little slot. How dare we? He will move whenever he wants to move. And if the God who created heaven wants to do something, is it more important that I get my notices in and tell the ladies about the mother's meeting and feeding the hungry. They're all good things. But you need the life and the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit first. You get those things first and everything else will follow. What you see here isn't me on a meeting night. Is it you?
No.
This is me. Somebody said about me 2 weeks ago, well, you know your mum, she's always been passionate. You're dead right, I am. I'm passionate about Jesus, the power of God, because I know what he can do. And the only thing that stops him is us. It doesn't have to be so. You're not too old. You're not dead yet. You're not too young. Grasp what God is giving you. Get rid of the rubbish and see what he'll do with you. Not the big names. We're living in a day of the little names. Me and you, each one of us. Please receive it. This is what's on God's heart. He's got so much on his heart.
Dudley and Anne-Marie, these are dear friends from Cobham. Would you mind coming out? I think we're supposed to pray for you. Dudley and Anne-Marie were actually baptized in this baptismal font. Can we just have... Lulu, can you come and stand with? Can you come and help us? Yeah, we might need you. Dudley, God says that you're a man after his own heart. You've got a heart like David. You have a heart like David, Dudley. You have a heart like David. And in this place where you were baptized, as you stand over the literal place, God's brought you here tonight for such a time as this. And in the place where you were baptized and where the old man was cast off, where the carnal nature, you were baptized out of it and up into the full nature of Jesus. Tonight you are baptized again in Jesus' name with fire, with fire, with fire, with fire, with fire in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name with fire, but with fire, with fire. With fire, renewal, with a renewing power of the Spirit of God, renewing in this area of the heart, where in the natural there has been some work done, where in the natural there have been things that have been inserted into your heart to keep the blood flow going. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing over you tonight, Dudley. We speak healing from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. And we say that your heart will beat and it will beat strong. And you will run the race, Dudley. You will run the race. You will run the race. There's a race for you, Dudley. And you're a man of the road. You're a man that's run many a race. But this is not the race I'm talking about. There's a race that God has set before you. You have not completed. You are going to finish. You're going to finish well. And Father, in the name of Jesus, even as we stand over this water, I ask for the cascading now that the windows of heaven open up over Dudley for the provision of everything that he needs in the name of Jesus. Renew him, Lord. Renew him, renew him, renew him, renew him, renew him where the weariness has crept in, Lord. Where the fatigue has been there, Lord, where his heart has been uncertain and where he's doubted and wondered whether you were going to come through. In Jesus' name, I take authority over the orphan spirit and I break it in the name of Jesus. I break it in Jesus' name. I declare over you, Dudley, that you have a Father in heaven, that you have a Heavenly Father, and that tonight you come around his table. That he opens the purse strings for you and he is going to cause a cascade of provision to fall into your lap, pressed down, shaken together and running over in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for provision for Dudley. Thank you for provision for him. Thank you for renewal in his family, Lord. Thank you for renewal in the family line. Lord, thank you for the well being reopened. Lord, even as we stand over the baptismal, Lord, and there's a lid on it in the natural, Lord, we thank you tonight that you're removing the lid, God. Oh, you're removing, Lord, what's blocked the well. You're taking the stones out and the things that have tried to occupy, the things that have tried to block the free flow of what rightfully belongs, Lord, to Dudley Hall. That you release it, Lord, to him tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray, Father, that you strengthen now Dudley's spirit, God, and that you give him the spirit to run the marathon, God, for the rest of his natural life, that he will run that race, that he will run it, Lord, that he will run it, that he will run it, that he will not look to other people to tell him which way he should go. God, that you would set in front of him the target, that he would see it clearly, and that he would run towards it. He would press towards it, Lord, like Paul did. Let the anointing be on Dudley, God, like it was in the New Testament, Lord. Not looking to the left or the right, Lord, but anointing him to press towards the mark of the high calling that's on you, Dudley, in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. My son, my daughter, it is not over. It is not over. The world says, you become like the people that you spend your time with. If you spend your time with negative people, you become negative. If you spend your time with encouraging positive people, that is how you become. There is a battle, and the battle for you is in who are you listening to? In the realm of the spirit, we have the biggest liar who tells us things that are not true. Spirit of God says, you two have listened to half-truths. And it's time to stop listening and to hear what God says about you. It is not over. You are in a place of relative comfort. You are in a place of relative settlement. The Spirit of God says, son, daughter, I do not restore you so that you can enjoy the settlement, so that you can enjoy the relative comfort. I restore you so that you can move in my purposes, so that you can be willing to do again what I call you to do. Do not say, I am unable, I am weak, I am sick, I cannot. The Spirit of God says, if I say you can, you can. My daughter, the same applies to you. Speak encouraging things to one another and look to the place where you are. For I am about to bring into your arena a huge change. Let your eyes be open. Let your ears hear what I am saying. You are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you think, says the Spirit of God, has to change. And I will help you to change it. It's what I say that's true and that will lead you forward. It will not pull you back. It will not cause you to stand in a place of no movement. You are precious, precious to me, and I have need of you. Amen.
The favor of God is on you as a couple. His favor is on you. We are in the season of the last becoming the first. Where the first have been. First, the scriptures talk about those that have been in the last in the line are coming to the head, and they will be first. And this is the season that we're in the body of Christ, where strategies have come against God's people to weigh us down, to influence us, to pull us, and to drag us, and to cause us to feel like we can't get where we need to go. That the season has shifted for all of us. And we're going to find that the areas where we were confounded and the areas where we couldn't seem to get a breakthrough, that as we press in, and worship is a huge key, as if we will worship the Lord, if we will lift up our voices and worship Him and concentrate on Him, like the word, like the song we've been singing says, that we're going to find that the hold that the enemy's had on us is going to break. It's going to loosen off us altogether. We will not be able to be stopped. And we are moving to the front of the line. And for you as a couple, your faithfulness is astounding. Your faithful service has not gone unnoticed by your Heavenly Father. And He says over you tonight that, according to Revelation 3, that we have also been in a season where the anointing of the overcomer is being released in the body of Christ. For those who overcome, the word says, will become a temple in the pillar of my God. And you too are pillars in the temple. In the natural, you have supported the weight of many a work, and God is pleased with you. And honestly, I know with all of my heart that when God gives promotion, no man can stand against that. And the promotion of your Heavenly Father is being laid upon you tonight. And He says, well done. You are my overcomers. And because of that, you are a pillar. You are both pillars in my temple. This is not a small thing. This is the actual temple in the heavens. The temple there. Your presence is known. Your stature is great, says the Lord. But be encouraged and know that you will overcome in the natural the things that you have desired to see overcome. You are going to see it. So God bless you. In Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for this new start, Father, as we stand in this significant place, this place of baptism. Father, this place of new beginnings, all those years ago, that God, you brought them back, Lord, tonight, to stand in this place once again, Lord, and you're releasing them, Lord, for a new season. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
This is a Kairos moment for you both. A moment of change that's going to bring forth spiritual significance for you both. Father's drawing a line on the former things and bringing in a new day for you both, for your family, where forgiveness and restoration and healing will take place. And that your hearts are the wells of living life that will just extinguish and have extinguished the powers of what the enemy has tried to rob from you over the years. But you have not only been faithful, and not only have you overcome, I feel like Father is saying, neither have you been overlooked. And you have not been overlooked, Dudley. And more so, I want to speak this to you, Anne-Marie. You have not been overlooked. Father sees you. He sees you as the glorious wife that you are. But your identity is not in Dudley. Your identity is in your Father in heaven. And He is with you to the left of you. He's to the right of you. He's behind you. And more importantly, He's in front of you. And He navigates your path. He navigates your direction. And this is a time of restoration and affirmation for you, Anne-Marie. Oh, this is not just about Dudley and what's going on in his heart. This is about what's happening to you, what's taking place in you at this time as a result of what's been happening with Dudley. And I just see in the spiritual realm, the shackles being broken apart, the chains are being released, you're being set free now through the healing of the presence of the Father, because He's here, and He's here for you, Anne-Marie. He's here for you. This is all about you, because He loves you. He adores you. He treasures you. And he wants you to receive it, that choice Margaret was speaking about. It's for you. And I just want to say that we love you too. And thank you for the years of history that there is. It's no mean thing. It's a beautiful thing. And you have touched so many lives. You have changed lives. You have been pillars. You're pioneers in your own right. Your birthright is pioneering. Faith and works are what you guys do and of what you have done over the years. Faith and works.
Let's stay in an attitude of worship. Let's just keep pressing in. I had a couple of things that I was going to share, and I'm going to make a beginning at one of them in the time that we've got left. But I just know that we haven't fully arrived where God is taking us. There's more to come. There's much more to come. Much more for us. So with all your heart, just keep locking on to the wonder of who Jesus is and his power and his love, his great grace that's awakening our hearts as he ministers to us and he brings us through in a land that's been parched and it's been sun-scorched and we've become thirsty. He is there. He is here. He has those pitchers of water ready. Like when the Samaritan woman was at the well and he was thirsty and the water was drawn, and the water that was made available to that woman was the water that it would never ever run out. And there's a drink for us tonight. There's a refreshment for us from the well. And that drink will never ever run dry. Hallelujah. His pleasure and his beautiful heart to awaken our hearts, to convince us that he loves us. That when he laid his hand upon our lives and made us his own, that in him are all the riches, all the treasures, all that we need to live our lives before him and to fulfill our destiny. And so many times the battles come, so many times the difficulties are there, so many times there are real issues that are coming up that seem to shout down those things and cause us to wonder, where are you, Lord? Where are you? I just know in these days that all the trials and everything that we're going through, Jesus is using those. He's making us beautiful in his sight. As the things come to the surface, as the dross is revealed, as the holy fire begins to burn it away, those attitudes of heart, those secret beliefs that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, the record of our testimony, even as a family, many times is there to scare us and cause us to wonder, God, are you going to see us through? But I know that I know that I know that in this season, Jesus is revealing to us the way through. Where there seems to be no way, he is making the way. So don't be scared of the trials. Don't believe that the enemy is more powerful than God, because he is not. God in his goodness is allowing many things to occur in our lives so that the pain will come to the surface and we'll be able to see it. So that those secret things in our hearts of fear and anxiety terror, depression, massive unbelief. All of these kinds of things, they come up. Jesus is bringing them through the circumstances that are going on in our lives right now. Whatever those circumstances are, they're very different for all of us. But through it all, Jesus is there. And I know that an anointing is going to be released as we progress through this evening to begin to touch you and heal you, even in the deepest place of your anxiety and your fear and your concern and your abandonment, your worry about the future. But through it all, he's making your heart shine. He's making you beautiful. Even as the Shulamite, when she first came into the presence of the Shepherd King, she was black and darkened by the sun. She was fatigued with toiling in other people's vineyards. So she didn't have a spare moment to tend the vineyard of her own heart. All the hard work, being out there in the beating sun. So many of us could relate to that condition. But it's in that very place that Jesus has chosen us and said, I have chosen you as my beloved. Come away with me. Come away. Come away from the pressure. Come away from the reality of the life that you lead. Come away with me and let me wash you, heal you, cleanse you. Let me teach you how to lean on me, the beloved. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, Jesus. Well, I did get a very lovely surprise tonight. Obviously, Liz is not here. She's called away sort of rather unexpectedly to go and minister in LA, which is where she is. And she's praying for us, missing us, feeling a bit homesick and wanting to be here. But I believe she's in the right place, doing the right thing. And so we bless her, Lord. We just pray for her right now. Father is the one, Lord, and you put a rise in her heart. And you said that if she would create an environment, a place for you, Jesus, that you would come and that you would bring your heart into the midst and that you would give people your heart in exchange for their tired and weary and broken hearts, and even their hearts of stone. And it's been such a wonderful, wonderful gift to come month by month to these gatherings, and we can see that you're with us, Jesus, and that you do love to be here. And I know if Liz was here, that's what she would say. Jesus, we just welcome you, and just please help us to make sure that we finish everything that you wanted us to do tonight. And we bless Liz. We pray for her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Just anoint Liz, strengthen her, give her extraordinary wisdom and great strength, physically and spiritually, Lord, emotionally, on every level, as she stands in the Hollywood gate, where you sent her as the bride. Lord, let her get a breakthrough. Let her get even more stakes in the ground than are already there. In Jesus' name. For you declared, Lord, that you would build your church and that the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against it. And we stand on that tonight in Jesus' name as our inheritance in Hollywood, the inheritance of your kingdom. So knowing that I would share, and I just want to honor and thank Lulu and Sazzy and Mark and the guys. Aren't they tremendous? Yeah. And thank you as well to Jonathan at the back and doing the sound and just watching over everything there. And also to Prav. Prav at the back, who's just quietly getting on like he does. But God bless you, Prav, and thank you for doing the filming. But we felt like we can pull together, and it's a time, I think, in a season where we all have to step up, don't we? We're being asked by the Lord to step up to a new place and a new level. And I'm used to coming to Arise. I love to come. I've missed once or twice, but I've never been here when Liz isn't. And so I really knew I would have to prepare because I wanted to be able to hold the weight of what God wanted to do, knowing that Liz wouldn't be here, but we've done it together. We're doing it together. So just thank the team for all their contribution tonight so far. But unexpectedly, I was sitting in the prayer room, and I see out of the corner of my eye a most surprising sight, which was my mother and my sister, which I wasn't expecting. My mind was a little bit, you know, when you see something in a place where it shouldn't be, how can you be here? But they have driven all the way from Lincoln and will drive home after the end of the meeting. Isn't that amazing? Well, thank you for coming, Mom and Jill. And I do believe that the Lord is in it very much. And everything that we've shared already about, you know, our history. And some of you who've come to Arise have heard me talk about that before. I know I probably do talk about it quite a bit, about the history and the connection to a great move of God in the 60s. But I believe it's a burden that's from the Lord. It's not just my personal thing. And so to have Mom and Jill come tonight, I think, was a surprise. But then when we were in the prayer room, a really good surprise. But Sazzy and Lulu were praying with us, and there was just a sense that actually that there's something in it, that it's a sign to us of the suddenlies and the surprising turn of events that are being released to us at this time. So for all of us tonight, just receive that, because you're here. And we know that these evenings are breakthrough times. They're times to just be in the presence of the Lord for whatever he wants to do, but they're also prophetic. And so what happens here many times is speaking more widely to the body of Christ. And so I'd already planned to just share and add to something that I said when I was here last time. And the fact that Jill is here, so I'll just warn you, Jill, I am actually going to ask you to come off in a minute. just out of interest, who was here at not the Arise in March, but the one in February? It's quite a few. So you will remember me talking about what the Lord took us through with my sister. Oh, my mind's just gone blank. Oh, this is terrible. Hang on a minute. Why can't I think of your name? Andrea, thank you. I think I'm going to ask you to come up in a minute, Andrea. I'm going to have Jill pray for you, even though I know that you've got good news as well. But I just believe that I knew that the Lord wanted to go deeper. We left off at a certain point last time. And so for the sake of those, and it was good, and that we'd got so far, but the Lord then added some more revelation, and so that was what I wanted to share with you. It was like a PS to what happened last time. So, but for the sake of the ones that weren't at that Arise meeting, I'll just do a very quick summary of what I was talking about so that you can catch up. But it's just so amazing that Jill's here to hear it tonight. but what I was sharing about was, and Liz and I did it between us, so Liz talked about the depths of what God did through the time of her mum going home to be with the Lord, and then I came up on the back of that and started testifying about quite an amazing and deep work that the Lord had brought about in our family, and it did have to do with my own dad going home to be with the Lord, and he He died in 2007, so it's 8 years ago. But what I was saying, what I was testifying about that night, was to do with an amazing process that Jesus took us through. But at the time that it was unfolding, it actually looked really scary and very, very painful indeed. And it was to do with Jill, my sister, had a suspect mammogram, and they called Jill back for tests. And it was, she went for the tests, and it was a very difficult time, and they did the biopsy, and they handled her quite sort of severely, and consequently that gave us reason to be concerned. And for us, though, it was like for us being taken back to a place that we didn't want to go to, because we'd lost my dad to a brain tumor. And so it seemed extraordinarily difficult and painful to think, oh my goodness, you know, can't be that, you know, something similar is now unfolding for Jill. And we only had to wait 5 days between the biopsy to getting the results. But in that time, it was quite incredible what the Lord did and how he moved. And so what I was testifying about was that in the time of waiting for the results, I went to Stoke-on-Trent, and I was in a meeting. And during that meeting, I saw Jesus. And he came towards me, and in his hands he had a metal cup, quite engraved on the outside. But not really ornate, but it wasn't an ordinary cup, put it like that. And so he handed the cup to me, and I looked into it, and it had this golden oil in there. And and it's odd, isn't it? Why would there be oil in for me to drink, basically? Because I knew that Jesus, it was because it was in this cup, that Jesus wanted me to take a sip. And somehow I knew that the oil that was in this cup was for the healing of my deepest wound. And I took a sip, I did. But at the time that this encounter went on, I didn't fully understand its meaning, because I don't think I really knew what my deepest wound actually was, to be honest. But all the same, I was very worried about Jill, and trying to understand what was happening. It's like the big why. Why, Lord? Why are you allowing this to take place again? Anyway, praise the Lord. Jill went for the biopsy results, and we went with her. And, it was good news. All was well. And there was the most incredible release of just supernatural joy. Now, I know you guys who heard this before, you're thinking, yes, 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 you told us that the last time. It's true, I did. But so we ministered out of that, didn't we, the last Arise I was here in February, that I understood by the time we'd come through getting the results, and then this supernatural joy was released to us, and we were so rejoicing for the good news. But there was like an incredible gratitude that was released, where we were, we were so thankful for everything that we had, never mind all the things that you're concerned about and how will it all work out, but we're just very thankful for our life, thankful for the, all the many, 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 many blessings. And we were saying among ourselves, when you have the Lord, when you have your family and friends, when you have health, you have everything. We're extremely blessed. And you know how the enemy works hard to kind of diminish and kind of blend all of these amazing blessings into a load of other stuff that we concentrate on, and it takes our time and our attention away. But this joy was released to us. And so Mum, I said it at the time, but, that night we went to bed, and poor Mum, she was waking up every sort of little while and couldn't sleep. It was like, oh, thank you, God, thank you. We just felt such a deliverance. And it did feel like Jesus had delivered us from this dark, dark place. And when by the time I came to Arise last time, I knew that the place of the deepest wound was actually about my dad. Because my dad died so young, he was only 63, but it was that whole thing of the dad dying was a very powerful dynamic in the family history anyway, because his father had died when dad was only 6 months old. So it was quite a weight. I mean, it's bad enough when it happens, but it was a very weighty area. And so the pain of losing dad was quite loaded. And so even though we grieved for him, we grieved righteously, so you move through that in the end. But I had to work quite hard at that time not to allow the enemy back in on with those lies, you know, that dad had had a premature death, like his dad, because we know that God is the author of our lives. He knows the beginning from the end. And so dad went when he was supposed to. But all the same, it was quite incredible. So you look at these circumstances that were rather daunting. And at the time, you're crying out, "Where are you, Lord? Why have you allowed something like this to happen? Not again." But as we traveled through the process and came through the other side, the joy was released to us. And I'd had this encounter with Jesus where I'd taken a sip of this very powerful oil, which I knew was about a very deep wound. But it was only after Jill's news, the good news, that I began to realize that the place of my deepest wound, of course, was the death of my father. And Jesus knew that pain was in my heart. And so he allowed the whole process with Jill to come about, because that was the whole point of it, that he was causing this residual layer of pain to come to the surface in us and release this oil so that we could be healed. We needed a deeper level of healing than we even realized. And so I received that. I thanked God for it. We still will go to each other, you know, "Praise the Lord, you know, Julie, all is well. But even that night I ministered that, and we prayed for people out of the revelation that we had at the time, which was that this oil was about the place of our deepest wound. And so and as you remember, nearly everybody came out, because we're all carrying pain and carrying wounds which the Lord wants to deal with. And I hope Andrea doesn't mind me mentioning publicly, but there was somebody here who, lo and behold, was going through exactly the same thing as my sister, nearly to the T, the very thing. And so I actually felt that the whole meeting in many ways was for her, for her to hear the goodness of what God had done. And so, and in a little while, I think, you know, depending on how it goes, but I definitely want to pray for you, Andrea. But it was a couple of days later that I was with Liz, and I'm sharing the testimony this way because, you know, when Jesus called me, I got the invitation from him that you've heard me talk about. You know, this is a bridal company event. So this is about us knowing ourselves as the company of the bride and responding to the invitation that Jesus is extending to us to come away with him and to know ourselves as the bride of Christ. But that walk as the bride is a very deep thing because, of course, as I was saying about the Shulamite, there is a process that you go through. But I would say, since I responded to Jesus in my heart and said, "Yes, Lord, I recognize myself as your bride, and that you will prepare me so that I am without spot and wrinkle," that there has been an exponential increase and a real momentum on the way that God has worked with me and dealt with me and brought a lot of the things up out of my inner man that I didn't even know was there. But it's not because we're so fallen into such a mess. This is about Jesus beautifying us and freeing us up. So a couple of days after Arise, I was with Liz, and we were just talking. We were talking about this, and someone sent through a little text, and they said, you know, maybe it was about the meeting even, but they actually mentioned the passage, "Beauty for Ashes," about the Lord giving beauty for ashes. And that made me think. So I turned open my Bible, and of course, Isaiah 61, this is where the beauty for ashes is being released. It's the famous prophetic passage talking about the ministry of Jesus. It's the hope and the good news of salvation. So Isaiah is prophesying and talking about what Jesus is going to do when he comes. And of course, Isaiah 61, among many wonderful things, Isaiah starts to talk about what Jesus is going to be doing to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So that, I read it and I was going, oh my goodness. I thought, that is the oil that Jesus gave to me. It was the oil of joy for a spirit of mourning. You've heard my mom testify, we're a spirit-filled family. We've got some, you know, legacy in God. But even so, as I've looked at this, it's been in my heart that because of the record, and there's been quite a lot of tragic occurrences in the family line, and particularly this area around fathers and dads dying, and literal orphans as a result of it, parents just being wiped out, that a spirit of mourning had actually been hanging around the family all that time. And so through what happened to Jill, how magnificent is the work of God in our lives? We viewed that at the time as an intrusion and as a very frightening thing. It took us a little while, you know, a few hours to sort of get back on our feet and go and get yourself into a place with God. But he was using the whole thing to out the spirit of mourning by giving us the oil of joy. So I'm testifying about that tonight, partly to say to you, this is what's been added since the last time I was here. I now know what that oil was. But it's incredible to me that that oil is a reality. When you think of the treasures and what's accessible, so I've started looking at the other things that are available to us, by the way. So literally, we can have beauty for ashes, we can have a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and so many other awesome things. But I knew in my spirit tonight, and probably this is roughly where we'll stay because of the time that we have available, but I thought, Lord, you are pressing in on this, that the oil of joy is being released to us for a spirit of mourning. Now, we did not know that the last time we were here. We responded to the Lord for the place of our deepest wounds. But as we go into a time of ministry in a little while, any of you, those of you who feel your spirit witness to this, come out. We're going to pray for you. But I wonder if I could just ask Jill to come up. She's now wishing she hadn't come. No, don't give me the microphone, but I might have to. I've done the talking about what happened to you, Jill, but I just felt it was right to just ask you to share. And then I would like you to just pray over everybody. And then when the ministry time comes, Andrea, if you would come, and I'm going to have Jill pray for you. I don't know what it's going to be about, but I just feel that she's supposed to, okay.
Well, I'm Julie's younger sister, in case you were wondering. Someone once asked me if I was her mum, which didn't go down very well, and it went down even worse with my mum, who said that must mean that I'm her grandmother. Since the age of 28, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which was a terrible blow to me. But through a process, I met a consultant who works out of Nottingham. He enabled me to get onto a treatment program, which has made a great deal of difference to me. But one of the risks of taking, I take a medicine called Humira, and one of the risks is cancer. I've been taking Humira now for 10 years, and it's made a huge difference to my physical well-being. And when they told me in the first instance, because they have to warn you now of all of the risks, that I may be susceptible to cancer, I just said, well, I'm not having that. You know, I'm not having it. And I just really felt that that was something that God gave me. I was going to take this medicine. I was going to trust in God. So in January, because I'm in and out of hospital quite a lot, I got this early call for a mammogram, and I thought, oh, okay, well, we'll just go. So I rocked up, you know, and went through the process with these dear people. I think it's a very strange job to do myself. Wouldn't want to do it day in, day out. So Julie and I actually got called on the same day. About 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks later, two letters arrived on the same day. And I could feel, because I picked the mail up, I could feel that one was sicker than the other. And I thought, oh dear, this doesn't look very promising. So Julie was busy, so I opened them both. I thought, well, I'll open them, because it both said Miss J. Brown. And I saw that one said absolutely no problems, and one said, we would like to see you again. I thought, oh dear, maybe if I tell Julie this now, she might get upset. So I went off to look up the NHS number, because I thought it would be easier for me to find mine, because I go in and out of the hospital a lot, so I'll get mine out. And of course, it was my number. So I knew that it was me that had been called back, which was a surprise. And of course, then my mind went to the day that I was told that I was going to be taking Humira for my other medical problems, and I thought, well, maybe I have got cancer. And I really felt no. I said no, I wasn't going to get that. So I read through all the forms, because I'm the kind of person who like to know the worst. I think it was Churchill that said that about the British. We like to be told the worst news. We don't like it to be kept from us. So I read all the forms, and I thought, well, the worst thing that could possibly happen is that I go, they do all of the tests, and I'm in trouble. So Mum very kindly volunteered to come with me that day, and we went to the hospital. And I didn't only have to do another mammogram, I got everything. It was really horrible. I won't deny it. And I was very upset by the whole process. But at the end of that process, the worst thing by far, which was probably the dear NHS trying to be nice to me, was them taking me into this horrid purple room with some chairs and a box of tissues on the table. And I thought, what are they going to say? Well, you know, and of all the memories of what happened with Dad started to come to me. And you're trying to put a brave face on, you're trying to have courage and just trust in God. So I hopefully managed to keep it together whilst the cancer nurse and the doctor came in, and they more or less said, we don't really know what it is, but if you come back in 5 days' time, we'll have the results. So we got in the car, and I sat in the car with Mum, and I had a good cry, because I just said, I have to be brave about so many other things. I don't want to have to be brave about this. So we waited. And it's a little bit, for me, it was a little bit like being in a vacuum. I don't really think I felt very much at all. I just thought, well, I've just got to put one foot in front of the other, keep breathing in and out. We'll get to Wednesday. The worst thing that can happen is they tell me that I'm really poorly, but I don't feel like I am. I don't feel like God's finished with me. I don't feel like I've got to the end of my story. So we went on the Wednesday, and God was so good to us, because they told us we would wait for ages, and we didn't. We were straight in. And I think the lasting memory of that night for me is that we couldn't. When we went up, there was the three of us. We went up to the waiting room, and we couldn't get in. There were about 40 other ladies and gentlemen there, all waiting for their results. And for me, I looked at that, and I thought, well, it's not all good news, is it? Not everybody here is going to get an okay. I don't even know at this point if I am. And what do people do if they don't know Jesus? Where do they go? You know, it's late on now. It was 5:45 in the evening. You know, they're going to be told that at night time. What a terrible thing. But God was good to me, because I was the first person to be called. And we went into the room, and the lady, first thing she said was, well, it's good news. And she was totally drowned out by Mum and Julie going, oh, praise the Lord. And I don't think I could get a word in edgeways, but, you know, I was not in that vacuum anymore. I thought, well, God hasn't finished with me yet. I've still got a hope. I've still got a future. And, you know, I thank God. You know, we used to sing an old song. I can't remember it all, but it talks about the lighthouse. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. And I do. I thank God for the lighthouse of his love towards me. You know, I have got other health issues that I'm not currently healed from, but I trust that God will heal me, and he never fails us. So we owe our life to him. We all do.
Amen. Well, amen. Yes, she was so brave, so brave. There was something about the cup that, you know, that Jesus, you know, held out to me. And there's a hallmark, I think, about the whole experience that you know, we can all identify with. And that was basically that we were being taken through something that we didn't want to face. But there are many things in God that without facing those things, we can't receive the healing that we actually need. And so I just want to release that. I just know that's something there in the spirit for us tonight, that Jesus wants to remove from us the fear that comes around about us when trying circumstances come, and for you to know that Jesus, even if the enemy manages to get, you know, a crafty dig in, didn't get past the Lord, and that he is there through it, and he causes all things to work together for good. And so we, in literally, you know, being taken through an experience that was the last thing that we would have wanted, going back to the same hospital where we'd gone through so much with my dad, clearly, you know, this was something that we just did not want to do. But as I thought about the encounter that I'd had with Jesus when he offered the cup to me, I thought about it afterwards. And I'm not saying, so don't misunderstand me, that it is the same cup, but there was something about that experience where I realized that Jesus also had to drink from a cup that he didn't want to drink from. He had to. And I knew he was identifying with us in our pain in that moment. He knows. He knew we didn't want to go through this, but it was for the joy that was set before him, wasn't it? And so, you know, as we begin to sort of just go into a time of ministry, in just a few moments, that's what I feel in my heart, that Jesus, it's this way where there seems to be no way, just pressing in for the areas in our lives that have been particularly challenging to us, but knowing that God causes all things to work together for good. So thank you, darling. If you want to take a little seat. The Holy Spirit's taking us a completely different way than I thought he would, but I'm going to finish just sharing one last quick thing. After the conclusion of this season in our family, maybe next time I'll share about it in more detail, but I went into a different kind of challenge, and it was a very, very, another different deep one, and another kind of scary one as well, and some things occurred which I just thought, what on earth is happening, Lord? But because of what we'd been through with Jill and the way that the Lord dealt with us, what I realized was that an ability to trust the Lord had been established in my heart in a much deeper way. That I'd seen him deliver us, and I had seen him use something so difficult for something very glorious, which gave me a lot more confidence to trust him and walk through the next trial, which I'm still in. But in this time that I'm in at the moment, and it's another place of deeply trusting the Lord, I was in a worship time actually at Hollybush, and so I was already praying, already, you know, Holy Spirit had shown me some things about how to move against and move into position to be able to deal with the present challenges that I'm in. But in the midst of that, I was in a worship time, and I saw Jesus again. And honestly, I make it sound like I'm seeing him all the time. I'm not. But this is the beginning to see the Lord and beginning to have the reality of his presence and knowing who he is. There's definitely been an exponential increase since I said yes to Jesus as his bride. It's true. I absolutely have been. My eyes have been opened in a brand new way. So in this meeting, though, and in that, this deep, a different deep place, but standing and trusting This time I saw Jesus and I knew where I was. I was in the crowd where the woman with the issue of blood was. I knew exactly where I was. And I didn't see her, but I knew that she was there. And I realized that as much as the Holy Spirit had been directing me and showing me how to pray and what to do about the present situation that I was in, that there was an anointing that Jesus was releasing to do with an answer to something that only Jesus has the answer. If he doesn't help you, then there is no answer. As the woman with the issue of blood reached out, she had been bleeding for 12 years at that point. She's basically bleeding to death. And she had spent all the money that she had seeing physicians. And of course, with no hope and no help for her. And in that desperate moment, she reached out to touch the hem of his garment. And I knew that that's what the Lord was saying to me, that there's a healing to be released to us in these days. Now, my situation was not a physical problem. It's something else. It's a different matter. And I'm looking forward to testifying about it another time. But I just know, and this is where I felt that the Holy Spirit would want to bring us to tonight, that as we press in, that particularly those of you where there are needs, and you know that unless Jesus meets that need, then that you feel like there is no answer for you, then he is here. And the anointing that was there, as that woman reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment, that this is what he wanted for us tonight. It was to grab the hem of his garment and to know the release of his power and his presence for whatever it is that's going on in your life. And so in the time that we've got left, we've probably got about half an hour. You know that we need to be finished and altogether finished and gone by about 10:30. So it's 22. So if the guys can just worship a little bit, we're just going to make some time now to minister. If you feel a witness in your spirit about the spirit of mourning, the oil of joy is being released to us. And I believe that this is available. And also that an anointing, as we bring to Jesus the area where we're bleeding to death, possibly, in one way or another, he has the answer for us. I know he does. And so I just welcome you to come to the front. There's one or two of us that will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, feel free to just remain in his presence and just concentrate on the Lord and just let him minister to you where you're sitting. So thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to come out, Andrea?
I just wanted to share a word of testimony about the surgery. I did actually have to have breast surgery, which was a real blow. But I had an encounter with God the night of the surgery, which was really powerful. I know that I've already shared it with some people this week, but I want to share it because I believe there's something about it that God wants to minister to tonight. Just before the surgery, the surgeon marked my breast with a black cross and he said, "This is the point that we're going in and we're going to go in deep." And that night, as I lay on my settee at home recovering, the Lord rewound the tape to that moment when the surgeon said, "This is the cross, we're going to go in deep." And Jesus said, "Yes, this is the cross, we're going to go in deep." And he said, "Nothing is for nothing." And he said that the heart of the bride has been held captive for too long. And it's time now to go in and to retrieve the heart of the bride. And I saw men and women who were black and blue with bruising from hurling themselves at walls that wouldn't come down. And I saw men and women that were like prisoners walking around completely downcast, completely in chains. And they were so disconnected from their hearts, so disconnected from other people and from God, because they had put up so many walls to try and protect their hearts from their pain that they didn't even recognize that's what they were doing anymore. And I just felt the passion of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, to say enough is enough, that it's time to set the heart of the bride free, to come out from that place of captivity and to come into a place of freedom and wholeness. And I just feel that the Lord is saying that the enemy has tried to keep people focused on their circumstances as the problem, but it's as if that's the symptom, that's like the fruit, and it's the root of the brokenheartedness that God wants to minister to tonight. So I just feel there's an invitation, if you feel that has spoken to you at all, the Lord has such compassion on you tonight, and he says, he stands with you and he says, enough is enough, nothing is for nothing, and he wants to minister to your heart this evening.